T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to bring in Mike Dempsey here, who covers the Jaguars down in Jacksonville on the radio side of things with Jaguars Today. Mike, thanks for a couple minutes. How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're trying to get a little bit to learn about the new offensive coordinator who you've had some experience with, Nathaniel Hackett.
Because we got to pretend like we know everything about this guy.
Yeah.
When we're cramming on it, you know, right when he's hired.
Exactly. So can you give us a little thumbnail sketch on what this guy's all about?
Yeah, look, I think he's a guy who wants to be more creative in the passing game than the Jaguars probably wanted him to. It was an odd kind of a fit, I thought. You know, the Jaguars' philosophy, as restated during the season by Executive Vice President Tom Coughlin, is they want to play good defense, run the ball, hit you with big play-action passes. I think in a perfect world, Nathaniel Hackett wants to embrace some of the more modern concepts like the Packers have been doing, spreading teams out with a lot of wide receivers and getting creative with route concepts and stuff like that. The big knock, I guess, if you could say is a knock on Nathaniel Hackett, is the support that he showed for Blake Bortles over the last couple of years. Now, I get it. You want to kind of boost your guy and talk him up a little bit, but he was seemingly a devotee of believing that he could turn this guy into something, you know, at least serviceable at the NFL level, and at times he did. I mean, Blake had some of the best stretches of football that he ever played under Nathaniel Hackett, but Blake's problem is he's just way too inconsistent. I think the interest shown by Green Bay, not only Green Bay, but Detroit as well, indicates that people around the league understand the situation that he was put in. He was put in to what was kind of a bit of an archaic offense with a quarterback that had major accuracy issues. I don't know how anybody could really shine in those circumstances.
Talking with Mike Dempsey, 1010XL down in Jacksonville, host of Jaguars Today, about Nathaniel Hackett, who was fired in November as the offensive coordinator and now looking for jobs, and he's going to get one here in Green Bay. This offense, it's a lot of Blake Bortles. When you look at the Jaguars, you think of Leonard Fournette a little bit over the last couple seasons, but also Blake Bortles. Yet they were good the year before he got fired, the AFC Championship year. The points were high per game, the yards per high per game. When they were rolling, was that more Fournette? Was that more Blake Bortles? When the Jaguars' offense was at its peak, why was it so good? And how much of that was, do you think, Nathaniel Hackett's influence?
When they're at their best, Blake was amazing in the red zone last year. If you go back and look at his red zone numbers, you're like, who is this quarterback? But I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of their offensive success in 2017 was due to their defense. The defense, by the way, if you're just looking at the point totals, defense scored 7 or 8 touchdowns that year. I mean, it was ridiculous. It seemed like basically every other week they were taking one back to the house and setting them up with a lot of short fields. But they were very effective in the red zone. They did have the threat of Leonard Fournette. And while he only averaged 3.9 yards a carry, that physical presence was a tone setter for them. It's part of the reason they were so effective in the red zone. I don't know what you can really take away from his experience in Jacksonville, because I don't think you're going to line up whoever it is, Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, in the power eye and try to run him downhill 20 times a game. And I think he tried to adapt as best he could with what he had to work with. I mean, there are no Pro Bowl level receivers or anything close to it. They were playing without Allen Robinson in 2017 as he had torn his ACL. So I think their success was predicated mostly on efficiency in the red zone, which I'll give them some credit for that. I mean, you're coaching your players and putting in a scheme and calling plays that you think are going to be effective in that area. But quite frankly, I think the defense, as much as anything, needs to get some of the credit for the offensive success for just setting themselves up in such good position.
Well, you know, since he was only averaging like 18 points a game and he got fired there late in November, and I think coming to Green Bay, somebody might look, geez, he couldn't hack it in Jacksonville. So why would we? Why would we want him in?
Of course.
Why would we want him in Green Bay? So I mean, could it be one of those cases too? Yeah, I mean, if he had some, you know, he's working with much better quarterbacks. Same with LaFleur, who was working with, you know, he's working with guys who are injured. Mariota, for the most part, injured most of the season. Give him some more guys to work with, and this guy might be a pretty good offensive coordinator.
Let me tell you that when they fired him, I think a lot of people felt like it was one of those situations where you got to make a change and you can't fire the player because the, you know, the money on Blake's deal wasn't going to make that. You know, you're not going to cut Blake Bortles at that point. They benched him. They did him at the same time. But really, if you look at what Nathaniel Hackett had to work with this year, he was down to his fourth left tackle, literally the fourth left tackle. The first three had gone out. At one point in the season, they were down to the right guard among their starters. Fourth left tackle, backups at left guard, center, and right tackle were playing. They lost their tight end very early in the season. Who knows what Austin Sperry and Jenkins would have provided, but they were counting on him to be their primary pass catcher as well as primary run blocker in the offense. They had lost Marquise Lee in training camp in preseason to another ACL injury. And of course, Leonard Fournette was more out than in the lineup all season long. He was playing with a stacked deck against him, I felt, and he put on top of that the accuracy issues that Blake Bortles had this year. There were times when he dropped back and he could not hit a 5-yard pass that was right in front of him. I don't know what, as an offensive coordinator, you can do to improve that fundamental level of poor play when you're in the season. I mean, if you've got a quarterback who has to constantly go back and get his mechanics tinkered with, that's probably not the long-term solution. I think it was a case of something had to change. The Jags tried to shake it up as best they could in a desperate kind of attempt to make a late season, postseason run, and it just didn't work.
Mike, one of our beat writers covered Hackett in Syracuse and was telling some stories last night on Twitter about how, you know, smart guy, good football acumen, but he's also so emotional during the post-game interviews that the sports information directors had to tell him stop swearing in these things because he'd be so fired up. Is he still as fiery as he might have been when he was at Syracuse? And do you think this personality will mesh with what you know about Aaron Rodgers?
But to me, he's not like a pound-the-table kind of personality. The personality I always saw from Nathaniel Hackett was very engaged. Not, I want to say manic. You know, he was very high energy, but always in a positive way. And look, I got to believe he understands the score up there. Aaron Rodgers dictates a lot of what is going to go on in Green Bay, if not most of it. If anybody else were in his same position, they would want the same kind of power having the body of work that Aaron Rodgers has. So I don't think he's going to come in and try to reinvent the wheel here. He's not going to say, hey, let me tell you what my experience with working with Blake Bortles has taught me about how to tell you how to play the game of football. I think he'll look to work together and be a big advocate for Rodgers and a big supporter, just like he was for Blake in Jacksonville. He never struck me as a guy who's energy or emotion was anywhere close to out of control or anything like that. He was really always a fun, enjoyable guy to talk to. Love talking football. He'd talk until the cows come home. But I think he's smart enough to realize he's got a great opportunity. He just basically fell upwards to the Green Bay Packers and having the opportunity to work with Rodgers, and I think he'll do everything he can to make Aaron comfortable.
Mike, we appreciate the insight. Have a good show today, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.